Assemble yourselves, ye that are escaped of the nations. Turn to Isaiah 45. There is a lesson here for all of our people. Isaiah 45, we'll start reading in verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel again, who hath declared it from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. And this is part of this long in Isaiah where God is challenging all the other gods and idols by saying they cannot tell the future, only God knows the future. And this is part of that challenge. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, I receive quite a bit of mail from various parts of the country through our tape ministry or radio or just people writing from literature. And many of them ask questions or make statements which I am going to answer this morning. This is not primarily for those of you who are here, but for people who are spread across the country who will hear this on tape. And their letters vary, but to some extent they say, well, we want to know the truth. We want to learn God's word, and we believe in Jesus, and we believe in the kingdom, but we want fellowship, so the nearest church is a Baptist church or a Methodist church or something like that, so we go there. And should we do that, or why shouldn't we do that, or what else can we do, and so on. And I believe that in verse 22 at least is the answer, along with some of these other things. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Can a church answer man's questions or save him? The answer, of course, is obviously no. What about fellowship with people who do not believe the truth of the Bible? Can that save you? The answer, again, is no. Look unto God, all ye ends of the earth. So the answer for anyone is to look unto God and his word, not necessarily any organization, and we'll see especially an organization that does not preach the truth. In verse 20 he said, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. That must mean to you Israelites who know who you are. You know you have been chosen out of the nations, brought out of the nations. If you don't know you're an Israelite, then you wouldn't even know God is talking to you there. And then, of course, he goes on and says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now, some people think they do not worship idols or false gods unless they have a wooden image or something in the church and then worship that. Some think, well, as long as I attend a church or fellowship with people who claim to believe in Jesus Christ, then they're not worshiping false gods, and neither am I. But turn with me to Matthew 15. We read part of this last week, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is speaking to these people, and he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. In other words, they are people who profess to believe in Jesus, they profess to believe in his word. He says, that's what I'm talking about. People who claim to be believers in me, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, regardless of what they profess with their lips, if they teach false doctrine, if they teach the commandments of men as the doctrine of their church, then their worship is in vain. And I believe it is true that if you go to a church where you know the truth, and you say, well, since I know the truth, all I need is the fellowship, All I need is to be around people who profess Jesus. Jesus said, if they teach the commandments of men, their worship is in vain. And that would mean that yours would be also. And God is calling Israel here, I think. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. In other words, you draw together with people who know who you are. Don't draw together with people who worship a God that cannot save. And if they worship a God that teaches, for instance, that you're going to burn in hell forever and ever, then that is not the God of the Bible. And you're not fellowshipping, and you're not worshiping the God of the Bible when you are with them. Now, you also know, or should know, that you don't need any great numbers to worship. Sometimes that is a problem. People write me and they say, well, I only know one other family, and there's only five of us can get together, or six, or three. Well, Jesus said that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst of them. So if you have two, you and one other, you can have fellowship and worship Jesus in truth and in righteousness. You don't have to have all of these great churches that you think you need. Turn to Isaiah 48, starting in verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. Assemble and hear what? Are you to assemble and hear silly thoughts about how we are finally learning to live with all the other races? Or we assemble and hear something about how we must be good to everyone and turn our land and our property and our nation and our wealth over to the Antichrist and to the Russians, and how we must get along with all the heathen of all the world, and how we must get along through the United Nations? No, God says, you assemble yourselves and hear this. And he goes on and tells you what you're to hear. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. In other words, you go where you can hear that God it is, and his word will lead you by the way that you should go. Now, if you attend a church or a fellowship where the minister teaches against God's law and tells you that God's law has been put away and is no longer in effect, then you are not assembling together to hear the way in which you should go. In fact, the thing that he is teaching is the direct opposite of that, because they open the way for all of man's ways and all of man's laws and even the Antichrist laws. As we saw a few moments ago in our class before church, God even has an answer for claims by the heathen against Israel, but you would never hear it. You would never hear the way in which we should go in that problem unless you get it from God's word. And you have to get it in relation to who we are. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandment! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. What in effect he is saying is, if you had listened to my word and to my commandment, you would have multiplied and increased, and your people would not have been destroyed nor cut off. Now, I have a newspaper article here, and I want to mention, we'll be reprinting this, God willing, sometime in the near future. This is an article from our local newspaper, and it's about a man that our patriotic conservatives, and to a great extent, our Christian people, in other words, the people who go to churches, supported a man for president in 1964, a Jew by the name of Barry Goldwater. And at that time, according to this newspaper article, Barry Goldwater had been supporting and promoting abortion or the killing of our Israelite babies here in Arizona for 30 years. The little article says Planned Parenthood observes 40th birthday. We have some of this information in our last newsletter. It says Planned Parenthood, which now operates two clinics in the Valley, will observe its 40th anniversary April 15th with a cocktail party at the home of Senator and Mrs. Barry Goldwater and a dinner at the Paradise Valley Country Club. It goes on further and says the first clinic was founded in 1937, and then it lists some of the people who founded it. Mrs. Barry Goldwater, Mrs. Lawrence Henderson, Mrs. Charles Couric, and Mrs. Arthur B. Kinsolving, the wife of the Episcopal Bishop of the state of Arizona. 1937, 40 years ago, this so-called conservative who deceived so many Christian people in America that he got something in the neighborhood of 30 million votes for president, and here he, unknown to most of those people, had been working for 25 years before that to kill Anglo-Saxon babies before they were born. Why did we fall for that kind of thing? Well, because we have been attending churches where we have not been taught in the way that we should go. We have been attending churches where we were not taught God's commandments, because if we had been taught them and learned them and followed them, we would not have been reduced in numbers. And God says, thy seed also have been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Your children would not have been slaughtered by these Jewish Antichrist enemies of ours. We would have known who they are. Someone sent me another article from the Seattle Times, and it is not written in condemnation, by the way. The headline says, Abortion, a multi-million dollar business here. And then it gives some of the information about it. And one doctor who performs about 300 abortions a month for $75 to $100 apiece says that he's been criticized for flying in women from other states, but contends he is performing a necessary service. He said, quote, people need to see the abortion business the same way as, say, selling cars. What is important is that a service is being provided and that people are not getting ripped off. So he gets between $25,000 and $30,000 a month, and he justifies himself by saying, well, I'm doing it cheaper than others, and therefore they're not being robbed. It's a business, like selling cars. Now, 20 years ago, our parents and grandparents would hardly have believed that they would see a front page article in a newspaper saying, well, abortion, after all, is just a business. But way down at the end of that article, we find, according to this Associated Press writer, that most of the referrals to those abortion clinics come from, guess what? From Planned Parenthood. The same organization that this Jew, Barry Goldwater, whom our Christians were deceived into thinking he was a patriotic conservative, helped set up and is still helping here in the state of Arizona. Here's another newspaper article from a Seattle Post-Intelligencer. I won't read it to you because I would be ashamed to read it from the pulpit. But it's in the newspaper, and what it tells about is how Planned Parenthood and the Washington State Family Planning Program have set up panels of teenagers who then are having meetings in the federal building in Seattle where they have a 90-minute conference, and the panel of teenagers on the platform tell those who come and listen how or why they should or should not use various methods of birth control. And according to this article, the teenagers on the platform were all between 15 and 17 years of age, and they had 100 people in the audience. Again, who promoted it? Planned Parenthood. Now, less than 10 years ago in America, almost anyone who did such a thing as I have just read about, which is now common in the United States, would be charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor and could be sent to prison for from 10 years to life. And yet Barry Goldwater and thousands of other people like him have been promoting this kind of thing for 40 years in America, and our people don't know it, and why don't they know it? Because the places they have been assembling themselves together to worship God have never even warned them of what's happened, have never taught them God's Word so that they would know what is right and what is wrong. And the result here, as God has said, you've not hearkened unto my commandments, and therefore your seed and your offspring are being cut off in the land, and they are, because we refuse to assemble ourselves together to hear the way that we should go. In Isaiah 45, he said, verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. You Israelites who know you are Israelites, if you're going to assemble together, you assemble only with people who know who you are. I contend this, that there is not any way in the world that you can get very much truth at all from a church or from a fellowship that does not teach you are the Israel people, because that is the key to understanding God's Word and to who it is directed to. Turn to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4. And this is a message to Israel in sin and iniquity, as a good servant of Jeremiah is, because this was shortly before they were taken into the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 4, starting in verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Now, thorns in the Scripture is used in many places to indicate heathen or non-Israelite people. In other words, you break up the fallow ground. You break up, you preach where it has not been preached before, but don't do it among the thorns. Do it among the Israel people. And I know I have a hard time getting this across to people, but I'm convinced that every hour and every dollar of God's tithe that is used to preach to non-Israelites is a wasted dollar and a wasted time of some person. Our people, of all the people of the earth, are the only ones who will hear it. For God's sake and for the sake of our people, let's preach it to our people. That's the fertile ground. That's the fallow ground. That's not among the thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. We know that we're almost in the same situation today, where the evil from the north can be upon us at any time. And God says, assemble yourselves together, gather together, and let us go into the defense cities. Jeremiah 8. Verse 13 through 15. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaves shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. He's warning the Judah kingdom, you're going to lose your power and your wealth and your might because of your iniquity. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities. Here's that same phrase again. And let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. So here is God's judgment ready to fall, and God says, assemble together into the defense cities. Now, I covered this once before, so let's turn back to Jeremiah 1, because I don't want you to think that you're going to have to leave wherever you are, and then go someplace where you have some sort of military or physical defense. In Jeremiah 1, God called Jeremiah to preach to the Israel people, as you know. In verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. Now, we know from the New Testament that we are priests and prophets in Israel, all of us. Not just the preacher. So you are an ordained minister. You're called of God to witness to Jesus Christ and to the kingdom. Verse 17. Thou therefore, speaking to Jeremiah, Gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. In other words, you preach and teach what I have revealed to you, that is the truth. Now, many people who will not withdraw from the so-called denominational churches find themselves knowing a lot of truth, and they know a lot about God's Word, but they are so outnumbered by people who will not believe it that they never witness about it. They may be the only person or the only family among 100 or 200 people who believe the Israel message and the kingdom message, and they think they're going to witness in that church, but they are so overwhelmed by numbers that they never do, or their witness is ineffective. But he says, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city. So God says to Jeremiah, when I called you and ordained you to preach, I've made you a defense city. And he later told them to go into the defense cities. What's he telling them to do? Well, I ordained you and I called you, and I believe he's saying you are to fellowship with other people who are ordained and called to God for this truth. Not to go here into the places of the heathen and the temples of unrighteousness. I have made thee at this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So there is a promise, I believe, to us, and certainly as it was to Jeremiah, that God will deliver us if we will witness to him. Now, we need protection and we need fellowship, but we do not need the protection and fellowship of those who oppose everything we stand for. Can you imagine considering yourself in a tent city and under God's protection when you are in a church that, according to God's Word, is going to be broken up and destroyed at some future date? And I think most of you must realize that churches which do not preach God's truth are, in effect, part of Mystery Babylon. Remember, Mystery Babylon was called the Mother of Harlots. And many good ministers in the last centuries have pointed out that false churches are those daughters of Babylon. And yet our people still think that because they should fellowship with someone who professes with his mouth to believe in Jesus Christ, that therefore they can't get together with one family of kingdom people, because after all, they're 25 miles away, or they're 50 miles away, and here's this Baptist church, it's just 3 miles away, and there's 150 people there, and so they go there. And what are they doing? They are fellowshipping with people who simply do not believe the word of Jesus Christ. They claim they do, and they use his name, but they simply do not believe him. They instead preach their lies and their blasphemy, and whether you give money to that church or not, your very presence there endorses what that preacher preaches. Many years ago, when we walked out of the Presbyterian church, we did call the minister, invited him to our home, and we told him why we were leaving. And this was before we knew the identity. But we told him we were leaving because the church was in error. It was not preaching the truth, and I believe you're supposed to do that, and I believe we did do what we were supposed to do. We left, and we didn't have one other family in that part of the country that we even knew we could fellowship with at the time. But a few weeks later, God gave us a church to go to where they taught the truth, and we had fellowship with other Christian people. But you might have to take the first step. You might have to walk away and go home and sit and not even have fellowship. But God will honor that, because I believe God is calling us to assemble ourselves with those who believe the truth and worship him in truth and in righteousness. Turn to Joel 2. Most of you know this very short prophecy. It's about the end of the age and the great battle that's to come. In verse 15, God says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Now here is a bona fide Christian assembly of Israel people called together to do what? To pray that God will not let the heathen rule over them. Now you know as well as I do that practically every denomination in America today condones and promotes heathen rule over our people. Sometimes they say nothing, and so they condone it by silence, and sometimes they actually preach in favor of it. You try walking up to some Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist preacher, and you tell him that we should not have Negroes in positions of power in the United States government, and they're liable to run you off. Oh, no, everyone's equal in the sight of God. God doesn't say that. He even tells us in this day, in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Joel, which I believe are very easy to understand prophecies of the last battle at the end of the age, he tells us the prayer we will pray is that God take the heathen away from rule over us. And yet these churches tell us, oh no, everyone's equal, they must be promoted. And I believe very sincerely that these churches which some of you people think you can attend and worship Christ are actually a propaganda apparatus that has conditioned our people to accept heathen rule. It's that serious. And of course, a lot of good kingdom people actually send money to them. Now, I believe they should be spending their time and their money, even if they have to drive 100 miles once in a while, to fellowship with kingdom identity people, with God's Israel people. Turn back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verses 1 through 7. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now can you say, if you did attend or do attend a denominational church, can you say that God is exalted and his majesty and his power is shown in that church like we read here in the Psalms? He's exalted for a covenant-keeping God. He's exalted because he made promises and he kept them. He's exalted because he has chosen Israel and will place them on high and above the earth. He says in verse 5, the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Now, on my radio broadcast recently, I read some things from a man who was reporting on Rhodesia. It was about their political and military situation. But in the article, he mentioned that 90% of the Negroes in Rhodesia were educated in missionary schools. And yet, practically none of them follow Christianity. As they get older, they all turn back and keep their superstitions and their idols, and he was not writing in condemnation. He was just mentioning it as a fact of life. Can we join with the heathen and the thorns and the non-Israelites and praise God? I say we cannot. The Bible said God is going to be praised in the congregation of the saints. Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. You can praise God, I believe, only in the assembly of the Israel people. We are to come out and be separate. And we cannot be separated when we attend places where they promote the heathen, even in their own church. Turn to Amos chapter 5. How about the assembly that you attend or the church that you attend? Does it preach or teach that we should have righteousness in the land? Amos 5, starting in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. These were all places in ancient Israel where Israel worshipped. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. In other words, seek God, because he may do something in Israel, and there'll be nothing in the churches to put out that fire that God has set. And then he speaks to them, Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now what did he call them? Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth. Does your church preach against God's law? Does it say God's law has been put away? If so, they have turned away from righteousness because there is no other standard by which men can act that would bring righteousness upon the earth. Verse 14, Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Now that gate in all of the history books of the Bible is the place where the judges sat and decided civil and criminal cases according to God's law. So he's telling Israel, even in your sin and iniquity, the call is to establish judgment and righteousness in the land. If you do, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Verse 21, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Now, you can assemble in a place that seems to be a place of worship, and yet God will not hear your prayers or your calling upon him in that place. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. In other words, God won't even pay any attention to your call or your prayer unto him. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. And here's what you should do, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. I say this, any church that covers up the present monstrous, evil, Antichrist Babylonian system in this land is preventing judgment and righteousness from coming to America. Some of them actually praise the present system, and they say, oh, this is good, it is the best on earth, and we should be thankful for it. And they tell us, isn't it wonderful what all the financiers and the capitalists and government is doing for us? Well, I'll tell you, my friends, the financiers and the capitalists and the government are destroying Christianity in America and in the world. And these churches that uphold them are actually teaching against the way of judgment and righteousness in the land. Now, I have a page in the bulletin you will get here in a few days. I'm just going to mention this in passing, and you can read the whole thing. It's about our military situation. The title of the newspaper article is Soviets Publish Blueprint for America's Destruction. You can read it because they have actually published a book in the Soviet Union that gives the whole plan for the military destruction of the United States of America. And then I ask this question, are most ministers secret Reds? Are most ministers secret Reds? And I point this out. There are only two ways a surprise attack on America is possible. Number one, make all preparations in full secrecy. Obviously, this has not been done. You read about Russian military preparations every day in the paper, right? Number two, failing that, somehow prevent America from reacting to prepare its own defense. Number two has and is being accomplished. And most of us for years have blamed the left-wingers and the so-called traitors in our government for all of this, but I think we have not taken into account 300,000 churches in America that preach either none of this pertains to you because you're going off to heaven before that, or that the Jews are Israel and all that God is going to do on the earth has to do with the Jews, or that you shouldn't mess with politics anyway because it's dirty. The churches of America have conditioned the American people, who are the Israel people, to sit here and wait for the Antichrist to destroy them. And of course, I didn't answer that question. You can answer it yourself. I wonder how many of them are secretly with Mystery Babylon, the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 17 and 18. Turn back to Isaiah 45. Verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Assemble together, you Israelites. That is literally what he is saying. Are you assembled? Do you gather together to worship God with Israelites? Or are you gathering together with the people who are planning to destroy you? And according to God's word, and we've gone over this many times, every race of people on the earth other than the Israelites are going to be gathered under the red banner of world communism to fight against Israel. That means that every person of another race is actually a part of this great Antichrist world power. And along with that, there seem to be a great host of our own people, or I should say people who seem to be of our own race, many of them may not, who are gathered together with the enemy, who are preaching things which deceive our people. And I think God sometime along here in the near future is actually going to drive our Israelite people out of these other congregations. I've had letters from people already who have already had this happen. They wouldn't leave, and they wouldn't leave, and they wouldn't leave, and finally the minister or some board of elders or some committee came to them and told them their presence was no longer desired because they kept bringing up this silly idea that the Anglo-Saxons were Israel. They will not have the truth. Now, those of you who are on our tape ministry, and again, I remind you, I'm not talking about you people locally here so much as I am answering questions from our letters. If you live anywhere within driving distance or calling distance of other Israel people, for goodness sake, gather together with them. We have some folks, praise God for them, who drive over 100 miles once a month just to gather together with some other Israelites, listen to a sermon, read the Bible, and pray. And I believe they are doing more in obedience to God's word than the people who say, oh, I'm going to go to that Baptist church, that Presbyterian church. I'm going to go there and witness. That witness does nothing but destroy your confidence in God's word, because you get destroyed by these things that are coming across that pulpit. And at the same time, when the adults are listening to the minister, often their children are in Sunday school being taught false doctrines which they then believe. So you gather together, ye that are escaped of the nations. I believe God is going to do great things with a remnant in Israel who will obey him and come out from among them, even if it's only 2 or 3 gathered in the name of Christ, for he'll be there and he'll bless you for it. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these words of instruction and comfort. We pray that you'll make them real to us, to help us to see that this word is directed to our people. We can understand it, we can fellowship together, we can hear it preached better if we are not among the thorns and among the enemies of our God. Father, we thank you for this. We pray that you'll help us to do this in obedience to thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.